Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. I'm getting used to this myself now. I've got to look at that camera and say good morning to Zoom. Still? Zoom. Morning, Zoom. Welcome to our service. Morning, everyone else as well. The psalmist writes in Psalm 107, "Give thanks to God, for he is good. His love endures forever." So let's pray into that now as we start our service. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. We come from very different circumstances. We each come with our own challenges. We each come from a very different week, whether that be happy or sad. Lord, help us to bring all of those things to the foot of your cross. Help us to come to worship you this morning, Lord. And may that worship be acceptable. Help us, Lord, as we think of the fruit of the Spirit, to just hear that small voice speaking to each of us this morning. Lord, be with us, I pray, as we spend time with you. Give us joy in our hearts, Father God. Amen. Our first song this morning is "In Christ Alone." Now then. Please be seated. So, I assume I can move, and you don't have to try and follow me around the room. Sorry, Zoom. I can't stand still most of the time. Okay, so, who's seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Good question. Got to be the original, surely. Got to be the original. So in that, they hunt for a ticket, a golden ticket, and it all depends how much chocolate you eat. Now that is my kind of ticket. I accept that challenge. But today, I've got my own ticket. I've got a ticket to heaven. Would you like to see it? Oh, you don't sound too sure. Would you like to see my ticket? Yes! There it is. That is my ticket to heaven. Yeah, it's Christ. And the more I share it, the better it gets. And look what happens when I share it. Let's see if this has worked now. This is the frightening bit, for me anyway. So when I share my ticket, what do I get? So if I give this, oh dear, there we go. If I give this away, I need some blue tack. I rip up my ticket and I get this. Oh, that's not very good. That's better. I get one of those. What's that? That's a cross. Not only do I get one of those, I get two of those. So I get another cross, another part of my ticket that I've given away. I'm just not very good at opening it. There we go. Sorry, I've got my back to everyone as well. So I get another cross when I give that ticket away. My ticket to heaven. But what's happened to my ticket? My ticket's in half now. It's a lot smaller. But what's happened to my ticket? I've still got a ticket to heaven. And what does that look like? That looks like the crucifixion. Oh, well, it does when I flatten that out. That looks like the crucifixion. So that tells me that my ticket was there to be shared because of Christ's death on that cross. And that's the great thing about you and God, is you can share that ticket. You've got access to that same ticket. So I don't know if you've taken that ticket up or not, or if you haven't. But I'd like to pray a very simple prayer this morning with you, if you join me. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to say this prayer out loud, just in your heart. Dear Lord, I would like to invite you into my life. I confess my faults and the things I've done wrong. And I accept that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to save me. I want to make a commitment to you and to follow you today. Amen. Simple prayer. But here's the best bit. You've been saved. If you said that prayer in your heart, you've been saved. And if you've said it many, many times before, it's the same. The only thing I would suggest to you now is that you tell a close Christian friend. Yeah, and ask them to pray for you. If you haven't got any close Christian friends here today, then ask me, ask Nick, give us a wave, Nick. Or you could ask the pastoral team, who I didn't tell they were going to have to wave, but give us a wave, pastoral team, So there you go, look around. If you've said that prayer today and for the first time and you want to talk to somebody, talk to one of those people and they will pray for you. Okay, so who's got a ticket to heaven? Fantastic. Fantastic. We've all got a ticket to heaven. You just need to accept that ticket and tear a bit off and share it with somebody else now. The music group are now going to lead us in two songs. The first, "The Lord, My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." To trust in you. Help us to follow you. Your endless mercy, your goodness will lead us home.
I love you, Lord. Yeah.
So, in the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Before we start our reading, we'll pray for the children, who can then go and have probably a little more fun than we're going to have. But there we go. Lord God, we thank you for the children. We thank you for that young life and the blessings that they bring to us. We pray that your Spirit, Lord, will move amongst them this morning and that they will have such a great time understanding you, thinking about you, and just spending time with each other in your house. Amen. So our reading this morning is from Galatians 5, verses 22 to 26, and then on to chapter 6, verses 1 to 10.
22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Our next song is Lord for the Years. Stand if you're able.
Thank you.
seated. Nick is now going to come and lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we come this morning knowing that you love each and every one of us. In fact, it was out of that love that Jesus came into our world to provide a fix for the mess we've made of our lives and that of the broken place we now find ourselves. Lord, we know that there are so many people around the globe that are hurting. Those ordinary people displaced from their homes and communities due to ongoing conflict or disasters such as raging fire or earthquake, and those that have lost family and friends. Come, Lord Jesus, and heal our land and comfort those that so desperately need you. Thank you for the ongoing work of charities like Open Doors, who bring aid and witness in so many different countries, offering hope to those persecuted for simply being a follower of Jesus. We hear stories from places like Somalia and Yemen, where Christians are killed on sight by Islamic militants and even by their own families. Those that aren't killed face persecution for turning from Islam to Christ. Lord, we simply cannot comprehend the horror people can face for believing in you. And it's a reminder how fortunate we are in this country to be able to openly say we are a Christian without fear of death or imprisonment. The Open Doors prayer diary wants us to pray for today, specifically for a 12-year-old boy, Danar, who became a Christian after seeing his mother's life changed by Jesus. He's the only Christian at his school and is ignored by his classmates. Jesus, we would stand alongside this little life in prayer this morning, asking you to provide resilience and encouragement. Surround him and his family with your love. Remind him right now how much you love him, and protect him as he continues to follow where you would lead him in the coming weeks and months. We pause to remember other places around the globe that are on our hearts this morning, offering our own silent prayers. We turn now to our own country and ask, Lord, that you would fix this nation also. There is so much we could pray for, but the subject of immigration is never far from people's lips. Help us to show Christian compassion to those fleeing their homelands, and give our government wisdom and direction as they continue to struggle with this issue. There are so many other things too that need fixing: the economy, our welfare and benefits system, the NHS, to name just a few. Lord, let us see credible plans to begin to sort these issues. Not just talk and empty promises, but real action. We again pause to remember situations in this nation that are on our hearts this morning, offering our prayers. There are so many in our community who need to see you this morning too. And whilst we're on the visual theme, I want to thank you for all the work that Torch Trust are doing, based right here on our doorstep in Market Harborough. Thank you for all the help and support they provide to those that are visually impaired. We pray especially for their online shop this morning, thanking you for it, and ask that all items that can be found there would be a blessing, and that goods would arrive on time when purchased. Continue to prosper and grow that work, I pray. Here in Desborough, we offer thanks for all the work that goes on in witness of your name, Jesus. For all the churches in our town, pour out your blessing on all that attend and serve you in their place of worship. Thank you also for the ongoing work of Revive, and ask that you continue to bless those that work and volunteer their time in that place. Let it be another place in this town where people encounter the reality of your love. We pause to remember the things in this town that are on our hearts this morning, again offering our silent prayers. Lord, for all those we know in this fellowship that need a special touch from you this morning, we ask you to meet them where they are, bringing healing and comfort where needed. And finally, we pause to remember again those people that are on our individual hearts this morning, offering them to God in our own silent prayers. And so, Jesus, be with us this morning as we continue in our worship. Let those both here in this building and online encounter you again today as we are reminded of how good you are. We bring all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
Okay, so we're looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and onwards. So I thought we'd have a little bit of a recap, a bit of a history behind all of this. So I looked for a map of Galatia. Surprisingly enough, Galatians was written to Galatia, but I couldn't find one. Every map I looked at was slightly different. So in the end, I found one that's fairly vague. It's around there. Okay, so that is what is now known as modern-day Turkey. It was written, Galatians was written in AD 47. Now, the opening of this book is very different to anything Paul has written before. There are no praise or thanksgiving or messages to the people in those churches, as there are in Paul's other letters. There is a sharp rebuke at the start. I am astonished that you so quickly deserted the one who called you. Paul was absolutely distraught that the Jewish converts were enforcing Jewish law on Gentile Christians. He saw this as undermining the foundation of salvation through Jesus Christ. So who was this letter written to? No surprise, it was written to the churches in Galatia. But it also has a lot of relevance to us today. So why fruit? Why are we looking at these fruits, or fruit of the Spirit? These are to represent the nine attributes of godly life, in direct contrast to the acts of the flesh. An ungodly life is one controlled by our sinful nature, something we were all born with. Following Christ is not And not our sinful nature is a choice. A choice I hope we have all made. But it's not a simple one. It's not a one-off choice. It's a life-changing choice. A new habit-forming choice. Verse 25 talks of the fruit. The fruit analogy. And as you can imagine, that strikes a chord with me. Apparently now, thanks to Nick, I am a farmer. not true. Let's clarify that now. No. But there are many visual references throughout the Bible that include some form of farming or plant association. In this case, we're presented with fruit. So, where does the fruit come from? That all depends on what fruit we're talking about. But in general, it comes from a plant, a tree, or a bush. What do we need to produce fruit? Any thoughts? Healthy plant, yeah, water, sun. Excellent. In order to produce fruit, we need a good root structure. So we need good roots. We need regular feeding and watering. We need good soil, and we need to do some weeding. We need to control those weeds. In addition to this, we need to do some pruning. We need to cut out the dead and diseased parts of those plants. An interesting thing about fruit is we need, if we want to get the best fruit, if we want to get the sweetest, the biggest fruit, we need to do some unburdening. We need to lower the burden on the boughs where the fruit are. And in this way, what remains on the boughs is bigger, is better fruit. It's tastier. But we need to remove some of those smaller fruits. This will allow that fruit to grow much stronger. Is any of this ringing any bells with your Christian life? Oh, that's smaller than I thought it would be. Good roots. So, we need good roots. We need to be a member of an active church. Are you a member of an active church? I hope so. Yay! You need regular feeding. So you need to attend a study group or a house group or some of the meetings that this church holds every week. We need to control the weeds, keeping yourself clear of bad influences. And we've all got a few of those in our life, I'm sure. I know I certainly have. And they're very easy to slip into. We need to cut out the dead wood, removing things that are not right in our life. And we need to reduce the fruit, the burden. So we need to ensure that we are concentrating on the gifts. Sorry, I'm struggling to read that. It's so far away. And I didn't want to get it wrong. So, it's down here. We need to ensure that we're concentrating on the gifts and not doing too many different things. And that's a problem for some people in the church, I know, that we try and take on too much. So we just need to maybe make sure that we're reducing what we do to the things that we should do. But if there are things that we should be doing, we should also get on and do them. So, Galatians. Hopefully by now you will have worked out what's behind this one if you don't know already. Not that one. Oh, it's not that one. Oh, nearly went wrong. It's that one. So do I now. Today we're thinking about goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of action. It means living your life with good morals and motives, as well as doing good things for others. The fruit in this instance is a product of a life lived with God and through Christ. We are not told to produce only one fruit, or that we are called to demonstrate any single attribute. What we are told is that the Spirit will produce this fruit in us. It should be evident to others that the Spirit is working within us. And this fruit can be seen as a product of a Spirit-filled life. The key area here is that all of these are evidence of the Spirit within us. It's not just a list of attributes that we should aspire to. Producing the fruit of goodness should be a sign of the Spirit. Therefore, as we have the opportunity and are led by the Spirit, let us do good to all people, especially those within our church family, the family of believers. There are other references to fruits and fruit with the same Greek word, this word of goodness. And they are lists that run in parallel. I don't know why I'm looking that way. I've got it in front of me. So I'm not going to try and pronounce that word. I don't know if Nick fancies it. No, Nick doesn't fancy it either. But believe me, that is the Greek for goodness. And it is used by Paul in very few other places, but I'm going to list some of them. So in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 7, he says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." In this case, this list ends with love. And for those that haven't seen it, behind the top apple is love. But unfortunately, that's out of sequence. But we'll do that at the end. But in this case, this list ends with love, with each characteristic building from the previous. But here again, they all are a result of a life lived for Christ. The very well-known 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, also offers a triad of virtues, saying, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." Here we can see the culmination of these three in love. So why is love at the start of the list in Galatians? In this case, the fruit of the Spirit starts with love. The Spirit-filled life will overflow with love. Love for each other and love for God. Colossians 3:12-15 says, "Christian character is created by the Holy Spirit and not by moral discipline or trying to be a good person." Should have done that bit. Paul is clear. Justification is by faith in Christ and the indwelling Spirit that's what produces this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life. Galatians 6 gives us a clear picture of goodness and doing good to all. It says, "Restore each other gently, but being mindful of our own weakness." So what does that mean? What does it mean to you and me? Don't point out each other's faults in a way that will embarrass or upset the other person. If you can't do this, don't try. If something only It's something only really close friends can do for each other. And we can easily take offence. Be careful, though. This is a two-sided sword. We should also be open to hearing, gentle, and I've put that in speech marks. I'm not going to do the rabbit thing. I've put that in speech marks. Gentle. We should be open to hearing gentle correction from our close Christian brothers and sisters. Carry each other's burdens. How? How do we carry each other's burdens? We first need to share those burdens with each other. And not all burdens should be shared with everyone. We all have trusted friends in the congregation. And if we don't, then maybe we need to find some. For me, the best place to share and to talk about things like this is within my house group. And don't forget, we also have a pastoral team who will be happy to talk and pray with you. Test your own actions. This one's fairly obvious, but so often overlooked. Are my actions considered good? Am I displaying the goodness God expects of me? If Jesus were stood by my side, would I be saying or doing what I am? It's up there. Don't compare yourself to others. Always a challenge in this world. We live in a world where we are bombarded with things that are new, improved, super, better, things that we must have. There's always a way of getting that and paying for it later. Sadly, that is the world we live in, and something that we all get dragged into unknowingly. So, stop. Check your actions. Share all good things with each other. A simple example of how to live in fellowship with each other. This is not always finance or possessions, but could be helping out at an event. Sharing a word of encouragement or scripture with a friend. I think we've all been to church events where the support has been, well, disappointing. We will all reap what we sow. I guess that's a warning for us all. Are you demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit to those around you? Or are you holding back? If you don't sow, you can't reap. Let us not become weary of doing good. This is an interesting concept, that we can become weary of doing good. And I guess if it feels like it's one-sided, then this can happen. So, share with each other and encourage each other. It's too easy to talk about things, idle chit-chat at the end of the service. How often do we speak of Jesus with each other, encouraging each other in our walk with Christ? Okay, so that crazy guy at the front now is going to ask me to do something I'm not comfortable with. Guess what? Neither am I. I don't really like talking about these things, although all evidence to the contrary at the minute. It's not something that we do naturally, is it? It's not something that we ask naturally of each other about our walk with Christ. So, I do challenge you to do that over a coffee. You don't have to. See how you get on. To discuss your journey with somebody else at the end of the service. Where are you going in your Christian walk? Where have you come from? It's a bit scary, I know. But give it a go. see what happens. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. The final challenge then is for us all to do good to all people. Not just the ones who we like, not just the ones where it will prosper us. As followers of Jesus, we should set out to apply Christian values to our lives. That's what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. One other interesting point about the fruit is it contains seeds. In nature, all fruit produces seeds, but some, such as tomatoes and pineapples, have to be pollinated in order to produce them. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yesterday in Tesco's, I bought some seedless grapes. Yes, you did. The seedless fruit that we see in our shops is bred this way to make it more humanly consumable and easier to eat. A service in itself. Seedless fruit, however, is still produced from a plant that has seeds. So if we apply this to the fruit or gifts that we have, we're sowing seeds with others. Fruit is only any good if it's eaten, or it's better still, if it's shared. Just like the ticket that we had at the start, if we share that ticket with other people, it gets better. Fruit is the product of a healthy plant. So that's you. The Spirit through you produces these fruits. The Spirit in you produces these fruits. And they're produced when we have good roots, when we are fed, when we are in good soil, and when we look after ourselves. But that fruit is ripened in the sun, or in our case, in the Son of God. That's when we meet our potential. Much like the fruit, we need to be fed. We need to be watered with the Word of God. We need to be exposed to the sun, S-O-N, and allow the Spirit to work in and through us. We need to seek God at every opportunity throughout our day, not just when it suits us. Fruit is for sharing, and we need to share and plant those seeds. Let us pray. Father God, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit that is produced by your Spirit in us, through us, Lord. Fruit that contains seeds that we need to plant. We ask you that you will be with us now as we go out on our way. Lord, help us to be that fruit to other people. Help us to share those seeds. Teach us, Lord, to be your people. As we say the prayer the Lord taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn, sorry Brian, I should have given you a bit more warning. Our closing hymn is The Servant King.
Thank you.
So, if you did pray that prayer this morning, I encourage you to talk to somebody. I encourage you all to talk to each other after the service. I know it's scary, but try. Let us say the grace together. Sorry, and if you're new to the church, we all like to hold hands. May the grace of our God, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.